UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Dr. Shamim Daya, who's a holistic GP.
Thank you for inviting me to your show, Vijay.
Shamim, I'm very grateful to you for two reasons. One is you were the first GP that I met who was interested in holistic concepts when I first moved into the UK. And you introduced me to the world of holistic medicine in the UK when I moved from New Zealand to the UK. And secondly, I really like how you actually take a very explorative, investigative approach to personalized healthcare. Mm-hmm. And a few months ago when I met you, you told me about actually recommending your patients to go and use wigs instead of colouring their hair. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is such a crazy idea. Mm-hmm. But having considered that, even as a doctor, I kind of feel that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. So today, I really like to talk to you, Shamim, about why did you come up with this idea that for your patients, as a GP, you're recommending them go and buy a wig and don't just go and damage your hair, damage your health by colouring it every 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. Can you comment on that? To me, it sounds like a very crazy idea coming from a GP.
Yes. Well, you know, I came to this conclusion from my own experience, which is always a good thing to come to a place from your own direct experience. So having dyed my hair, you know, dark brown, black hair, you know, so it's dark colours for 20 years. When I turned 50, it seemed like that was a turning point in my mm-hmm. life, because when I turned 50, I was dyeing my hair still every 3 weeks. But something, it was almost as if turning 50 and the ongoing adrenal stress of living in London, working in London, and hair dyes suddenly became a no option situation for my body.
Let me get this right. You turn 50 and then you are talking about the stress of London mm-hmm. and then hair color, you yes. know. If I were to put myself in that situation, a lot of people would be thinking differently. They would think, actually, I need to get more hair color because I've turned 50. I should look younger. I should look more beautiful. But you decided not to color your hair.
Yeah, but the reason I did, because I had a health crisis. I dyed my hair on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Monday morning, I woke up needing to come to work because I had a full busy day scheduled with patients. But I woke up and both my eyes would not open. They were both swollen and completely edematous. So I couldn't open my eyes, and I woke up thinking, oh my God, what's happened? And of course, being a GP myself, it's like trying to work it out. And I had to be at the clinic by 9 o'clock. And I remember calling my colleague, and she just suggested putting ice packs on my eyes to calm the swelling down. But it became an emergency crisis. And so I came to work, and it was a day I was working with Sheila, my colleague who I do the biomeridian screening with. And I was really emotionally distraught and upset by this unknown happening out of the blue, seemingly. And I had a screening with Sheila just because it's like we were both looking at each other thinking, what could have happened? And Sheila screened me, and she came up with toxic metals. And she said, you dyed your hair on Saturday, didn't you? And I thought, how did you know that? Her screening tool figured that out. Because metals showed to be completely weakened on my system. And she was absolutely right. Friday I was fine. Monday I was not fine. And the only thing that happened in between was I dyed my hair. But it seemed like it's an accumulatory process. So I got away with it for 30 years, 25 years, whatever it was.
So it was not an allergic reaction?
No, it was the same dye that I'd had the last 3 years, same person, same salon, same everything. All I can say was different is I was a year older. So I became menopausal around the age of 50, so maybe that had something to do with it. Adrenal stress ongoing, it never lets up because life is life. But what I'm trying to say is the combination of getting older, adrenal stress, which is ongoing for all of us, and hair dye or toxic metals from any source, but hair dye is one of them, that combination seems to be a bit of a disaster for not just me, and I see it in so many of my patients, whether they present with eczema on their hands or itchy scalp or, you know, distant, far removed from the source of the problem. It's the eczemas or the rashes on the skin or, you know, it's usually showing as a skin issue, whether it's a rash or a blister or... and so a patient will go to their GP and get steroids and all these things, which is what I had to do in the end. I needed antibiotics and steroids to calm this down.
Oh, really?
Okay. It was so severe. I had to come to work with sunglasses on, couldn't bear looking at my patients with these swollen eyes. But it took me the whole week, maybe 10 days, for it all to calm down. And from that day, and I remember prior to that, there was hints and clues of metals coming from every time I dyed my hair. So I explored the henna dyes and the natural vegetable dyes and the no chemical dyes. I had a whole collection.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to get my hair dye. And honestly, in that compromised, adrenally stressed, getting older situation, you know, none of these dyes work. And because I'm dark hair color, you know, it needed to be a dark color for it to be effective. And it's the dark colors in the hair dye that are problematic. And the problem is...
Why are they problematic? What's the... there must be something in the content.
Well, all dyes are sold on the false kind of statement of it being natural and organic and chemical-free and, you know, but to be honest, any hair dye that colours dark has to have lead in it.
Even organic?
Organic. And lead is organic. It's part of the earth. It's a natural element. But
so you can call it organic.
You can call it organic, but, you know, it's the... Of course, you don't get a packet of dye and it says lead in your face in there. It's going to be disguised under different names, cleverly disguised under different names, which is the norm. But anyway, the reason why I called it a day suddenly is because it presented itself in such a way that it was unacceptable. Okay. You know, I couldn't go through this stress of waking up, one morning and having this health issue to deal with that was very clearly related to my hair dye. Because, you know, it's been over 5 years now, I haven't dyed my hair and I've never had swollen eyes or skin issues on my face, which I was looking back now, I had several skin flare-ups, which again, very hard to connect it to hair dye.
Yes.
And that's the problem with not just hair dye, but a lot of things. It's so distantly removed from the symptom.
Mm.
You know, no different to having a mercury filling put in your mouth.
Mm.
And then 2 days later, you get a headache.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to make that connection.
It
needs a holistic-minded thinking person to see the connection between one thing and distant to another.
Okay, Shamim, I'll come back to you about understanding the association between adrenal stress, the change in hormones because of age, and introducing hair dye, which may have harmful ingredients, even if they're called organic, and how it plays out on releasing a cascade of events that are not going to be helpful for the body.
Mm-hmm.
But what really interests me is after that incident, you went to a shop and you started buying Vicks, and then you also recommended to your patients. And I suppose they are happy to do that.
Well, it wasn't immediately after. I spent months just recovering from this trauma of the incident. But, you know, and because I let my hair go and I really couldn't be bothered what I looked like because my health was more important. So initially my patients were a bit alarmed that I'd forgotten to dye my hair. But after a while they got used to me being this sort of semi-grey. And then I think because my patients were having more problems in saying they refused to go white, they refused to go grey, I took myself to Harlesden. Now, Harlesden is a town not far from Wembley, and it's kind of known as the wig town. And honestly, every shop is a wig shop in Harlesden, practically, apart from a few fish shops. But anyway, I took myself to Harlesden, and I just enjoyed just exploring the whole wig thing. Now, of course, there are many artificial light wigs, and but then there's some natural hair wigs. Now, maybe this didn't exist 20 years ago when it would have been great fun to wear different looks through your hair. But nowadays, they have some amazing wigs made with natural hair. And they do look stunning, you know, some with highlights, some with this style and that style, you know. And they're very reasonably priced. They're like £50 for a decent wig. So I bought two just because I wanted to have a change and change in color and style. You know, I really would urge anyone who's young to explore the wigs and from that young age. Because, you know, the problem is that from the age of 20, 25, when people start dyeing their hair, which is horrifying, that they start so young, it's an accumulatory process. Imagine every 3 weeks you cake this dye on your scalp and you sit there for 20 minutes while it soaks in. You know, there has to be accumulating in your system. And you know, it's a toxic metal. It knocks out the thyroid. It knocks out the hormonal system generally. It gets lodged into the bones. It's almost, people don't realize the true impact of toxic metals accumulating in the body. And it is accumulatory. So not only is it toxic metals you're exposed to, it's expensive to dye your hair every 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, we are seeing so many people, especially women, with thyroid problems. And I have to ask the question, why are women susceptible to thyroid problems more than men?
Mm-hmm.
You know, could it be the hair dye? Because after all, from the hair to the thyroid is not too distant a move or a location. You know, and not only that, I know that hair dye is a big issue because having worked in clinical practice for 30 years and latterly the last 12, 15 years with Sheila, who does the biomeridian screening, I see evidence of it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I see my patients sitting here with skin problems, adrenally stressed, you know, and they're wondering why they're tired or the thyroid's not working, the whole body's messed up.
Yeah. I think, you know, I just like to now connect to the voice of our audience, and some of them might be thinking, you know, especially, you know, if you are very attached to hair dye or anything, you know, cosmetics or the clothes that we wear, we actually will enter into a state of denial and not actually see that as the problem.
Yeah.
And some of the listeners might be thinking, oh, these are two weirdos. You know, they're doctors, but they're talking about Vicks.
Yes.
But I'd like to take our listeners to just say 100, 150 years, you know, before now. And if I tell them the concept of beauty then was applying arsenic to look white, to look pale, would any of these people now say, actually, that's a fantastic idea just because it's in trend? I kind of feel that the same thing is happening.
Yes.
It's like now we understand that how could somebody be using arsenic on their face just because that was the... that was the sign of beauty then.
Yes.
But maybe 100 years down the lane, people will be thinking, how could these people think that dyeing their hair every 3 weeks to get the look that they wanted ever made sense?
No.
And that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
And what I like about your practice, Shamim, you have always been ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And, you know, I remember me as a researcher trying to kind of tell you, Shamim, look, you know, we need to research this. We need to find this evidence. Mm. But I clearly had this response from you. Look, you know, you need to research and that's important. But actually the more important thing is to apply your wisdom in practice.
Mm.
And that's what is missing in today's healthcare.
Yes.
You know, like you are a holistic GP. Mm. And each time I meet you and ask you, okay, Shamim, what you think are the most common conditions for which people see you?
Mm-hmm.
You always tell me that actually, you know, you can't pinpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Because you work as a holistic GP, people come to you with all kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm.
It can be gut-related issues. It can be autoimmune conditions, it can be hormonal conditions or perimenopause or menopause or andropause.
Mm.
So you see a very wide cross section of people. And for you to actually say that hair dye is an important risk factor for health in a major way,
yes.
To me, having worked with you, I understand that is definitely something that everyone must consider. Can you explain to me, Shamim, what is the relationship between the hormonal changes that occur because of age?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking about, you know, middle age between 45 to, say, 60.
Mm-hmm.
And having stress in the background,
mm-hmm.
which stresses the adrenals,
mm-hmm.
and exposure to hair dye, which potentially has heavy metals. What happens in the body?
Well, you know, I think from my own experience, I kind of feel like I know why the menopause is an important time in someone's life, or the andropause, for that matter, in men. So, you know, the word menopause actually is defined as a change of life.
Mm.
And really, you know, one should respect that. So the change of life means, what have you done to change your life? You cannot be working, you know, all hours.
Mm-hmm.
Postmenopausally, as even though mentally one feels young and active and alive, you know, there's definitely been a change in something. We lose that buffering system of the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the hormones are an orchestra. It's not just estrogen, progesterone. It's yes. almost a decline of the adrenal hormones, ovarian, all of them. So you cannot just say, give me some estrogen, give me progesterone, and I'll be young again. Because the hormones are delicate and need to be carefully administered. They're not necessarily safe, even if they're bioidentical. But yes, there's definitely a change that happens at the menopause. And I do think it applies to men equally. Maybe the age is slightly different. Maybe it's slightly earlier in men, 45 to 55.
Yeah.
And it's this delicate, you know, change in hormones that... It is really, they act as a buffer.
Mm-hmm.
So premenopausal, we could get away with all sorts of insults to the body.
Right.
Whether it be working hours, you know, all sorts. Foods we eat, drinking, socializing, whatever. Late nights, not enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But after the menopause, if you're losing that buffering system, then it makes us more vulnerable. And because we're more vulnerable, more compromised, we should take better care. Mm-hmm. So one of the change of life things that a woman and man should consider is like, you know, to just consider. It's like, it's good to enjoy the quality of life. You need to really ask yourself, what am I changing? My pace of life, my hours of work, my days of work, starting time slightly different to allow for better routines that the aging body needs. So the hormones are important. And, you know, adrenal stress is part of the menopause because adrenals cannot be separated from the whole hormonal axis.
Mm-hmm.
So again, when we become menopausal, andropausal, and there's a lot of stress in our environment, living in a city, surrounded by Wi-Fi, electrosmog, you know, the toxins around us in the air we breathe, the food we eat, and the drinks we drink, the water, it's everywhere. We cannot escape from it.
All of these factors can have a negative impact on adrenals.
Yes, and you know, it's not like people under the age of 50 don't get unwell. They do. Mm-hmm. But there's something to be said that when you cross that 50-year mark, mm-hmm. you know, I would just say to everybody, think twice, consider your whole life, your whole routine, and put more energy towards maintaining health mm-hmm. or striving towards health. Because, you know, cancer is a big thing, and again, it's accumulatory. So I have patients who've dyed their hair every 2 weeks, and then suddenly, you know, at the age of 70, they've got myeloma or mm-hmm. leukemia. You know, is there a connection to the hair dye? Absolutely, I can say that, having worked and working with Sheila, who does a biomeridian screening, where we're always picking up kidney, bladder. Mm-hmm. All right, these are the exit routes for toxic metals in the body. We're always picking up metals, and we always narrow it down to lead because they dye their hair. So I kind of have an objective way of mm-hmm. knowing that it's factual. It's not just a made-up story.
So I think clinically it makes sense. You know, if the body is exposed to overusing the detoxifying organs, like the liver and the kidneys,
yes.
there isn't enough resources or
yes.
time or energy
yes.
in the body to do the repair.
Yes.
And when naturally the rejuvenatory and repair mechanisms in the body decline,
mm-hmm.
as you say, like
mm.
when there's no more buffer mm. of sudden switching on and switching off of hormones,
mm-hmm.
There is less ability to detox
mm-hmm.
and there is no repair happening efficiently.
Yes.
So it can lead to chronic conditions,
yes.
you know, can be like cancer. I mean, of course, you and I are not saying that's the causative factor,
no.
but these are very important risk factors
yes.
to consider. So, Shamim, when you were talking about, you know, bioidentical hormones, it's not just enough to take an estrogen
mm-hmm.
or progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there is this whole new trend of people because they are highly informed now
mm-hmm.
because of internet.
Mm-hmm.
They search and they think, okay, can I have DHEA?
Mm-hmm.
Or they ask for, you know, oxytocin
mm-hmm.
or, you know, it may not be for estrogen or progesterone. They
mm-hmm.
actually are asking for other precursor
mm-hmm.
hormones as well.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I hear from you is you're saying it's not just enough or it's not always a good idea just to replace a hormone
mm-hmm.
and to believe that the body now has the ability to deal with stresses.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes. You know, to just replace the hormones and change nothing else in your life is very short-sighted in my view because... You know, my experience is that with bioidentical hormones, yes, you can have this amazing honeymoon period of feeling great, you know, more stamina, more energy. But again, like anything, it accumulates. The effects accumulate in the body, and the liver has to process the hormones, especially. And there comes a point, maybe 2 years, excuse me, or 3 years down the line, the liver can't metabolize the hormones, and now they become your enemy rather than your friend.
Even if they are bioidentical.
Even bioidentical. Bioidentical does not guarantee them to be safe. They're still having to be processed and metabolized by the body.
Just for the benefit of our common listeners who are not health professionals,
mm-hmm.
Can you, in very simple words, describe the difference between hormone replacement and a bioidentical hormone?
So the bioidentical hormones are very similar to what the body makes, basically, in principle. That's the bottom line. Whereas, you know, the synthetic hormones like Premarin, the hormone structure is slightly adulterated in order to patent it or make it a pharmaceutical grade hormone, and that adulteration or slight change in the molecular structure is actually very damaging to the body. It's almost like a man-made hormone, whereas the bioidentical are left in its natural state without any manipulation of molecular structure. Having said that, you know, estradiol that you can get on prescription, is pretty okay in that it hasn't had its molecular structure changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll often prescribe estradiol as a gel and then some natural USP progesterone to complement that. But it takes a lot of monitoring, you know, ultrasound, pelvic ultrasound scans, regular saliva tests, regular testing with myself and Sheila to make sure your liver is handling it, and myself with Tony with the functional biochemistry to make sure that the liver is processing, metabolizing the hormones adequately,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all the nutrients that are required to support that process. So, you know, it needs to be taken seriously, because when the hormones go out of balance, that's dangerous for the breast tissue, for the prostate in men. You know, it's not something that is without its risks.
So what's your comment about, thyroid hormones, Shamim?
Well, thyroid hormone is interesting, you know, so many people seem to need the thyroid hormone to balance. And it may be that it's obviously a very sensitive gland. But, you know, the reason I think a lot of people need thyroid support, especially women, is the whole risk, again, with having amalgam fillings in your mouth,
mm-hmm.
they're so closely related to the thyroid. And the amalgam fillings, in my view, are toxic, not just to the brain, but to the thyroid especially, but to many other parts of the body. so mercury amalgam fillings are probably contributing to thyroid mm-hmm. imbalances. And then hair dye is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, you know, autoimmune conditions relating to leaky gut, gluten sensitivity, dairy sensitivity. Again, all of these, I think the autoimmune epidemic is happening because there is so much stress within our own internal environment, and especially in the external environment. Almost invisible stress. We cannot see it. Mm-hmm. If you're sensitive, you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, because they can't see it or taste it or touch it, they feel it doesn't exist. Mm. But, for example, the Wi-Fi electrosmog scenario is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Aggravates fungus in the body and the parasites. But the toxic metals as well are also part of this whole package, if you like. You know, toxic metals allow the infections come in to rescue us from the damaging effects of toxic metals.
Yeah.
So now we're dealing with all these co-infections
mm-hmm.
and all its consequences on the body. So, of course, you go and see a doctor because you've got recurrent sore throats or chest infection or bronchitis or fungal issues, but no one's actually able to pinpoint what is the infection and why is it there.
Yeah.
So for me, the toxic amalgam fillings, hair dye, you know, amalgam fillings, it's 24/7. You're being exposed to that. And hair dye, it's kind of every 3 weeks, but it's filtering through daily.
Yeah.
So again, it's this accumulatory effect. And in my view, I think between one or the other, or both, some people have amalgam fillings and they dye their hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think disease is just waiting to happen. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
With the aging process as well.
Yeah. So on one hand, so we have hormones that are related to age and aging.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the adrenal stress.
Mm-hmm.
And so adrenals may not be producing sufficient amount of cortisol sometimes,
yes.
or sometimes adrenals could be overproducing cortisols, the two different
yes.
kinds of stages of stress.
Yes.
So, Shamim, have you seen, you know, what might indicate in a patient that actually their body is not producing enough cortisols to deal with stress?
I think when somebody has reached the point of chronic fatigue, it's almost like you've gone high cortisol and now you're low cortisol, meaning like you've really burnt yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people that are suffering from burnout and don't realize it. But chronic fatigue, if you're in that state, then your adrenals are really exhausted in their reserves. One of the key factors for adrenal stress is caffeine,
mm-hmm.
abuse, alcohol, overuse, and lack of sleep. A lot of people struggle with all of those, including the sleep, lack of sleep.
So all of these, you know, poor sleep, excessive alcohol, and caffeine, they all actually trigger cortisol production.
They do, but in it's almost like a stimulatory effect. So you get mm-hmm. a quick fix effect, but then you get a counteractive a crash
yes.
effect. You know, and that again, when that persists day in day out, you
yeah.
know, you're just wearing yourself down completely.
So there, I mean, pharmacologically, caffeine is initially it's a stimulant.
Mm.
And later it is a depressant.
Yes.
And I think it's very much like sugar.
Yes.
Like when you have sugar, yes, you feel good.
Yes.
For the next 2 minutes.
Yes.
And then when the sugar levels drop, again you feel low.
Yes.
And you might want to have more sugar.
Yes.
And that's the same thing with abuse of stimulants.
Yes.
And then it then offsets the adrenals, and then adrenals become compromised.
Yes, and it's not just the adrenals. Caffeine is very harsh on the liver as well, as so is alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, between the adrenals and the liver being hit hard,
mm-hmm.
those are two really important organs that we need to preserve and make friends with. You know, that we need to kind of recover them in order to start to heal.
You know, I'm just visualizing this picture, Shamim, that somebody, say, they've gone into a nice salon mm-hmm. for their hair dye. They have to sit there exposed to all these heavy metals
yes.
with the rest of
yes.
the customers as well for
yes.
about an hour or 2 hours.
Yes.
And then they're offered, would you like a coffee
yes.
or would you like
tea.
Yeah, a glass of wine
yes.
or something?
Yes, it's like the best cocktail of
yeah.
disaster.
And then, you know, people think, I mean, even I would think, wow, I'm having a fantastic time.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is, actually, all of this
yes.
is exposing your body to health risks.
Yes.
And to be honest, having seen so many people with autoimmune conditions,
mm-hmm.
and also in my own practice, I've noticed, Shamim, is that even people who are very health conscious,
mm.
for an occasion, say, wedding of their close
mm.
relative,
Mm.
their daughter, or their son, or their brother,
mm.
and then they get their hair done.
Mm-hmm.
And within about 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
the autoimmune condition just flares up.
Yes.
They could be doing everything right. Their
yes.
nutrition, they
yes.
could be doing yoga,
yes.
they might be doing breathing
mm-hmm.
and water, everything is fine.
Mm.
But just that one
insult.
Yes. Is enough
yes.
to completely trigger
yes.
this whole cascade of events
yes.
that results in their autoimmune condition becoming worsened.
Yes.
And on top of it, if there is a bacterial or a viral infection,
mm-hmm.
doctors actually can't detect what's happening with them.
No.
They continually feel unwell.
Yes.
And then you could be trying with antibiotics,
mm-hmm.
you can try with vitamins, you can
mm.
have your B
mm.
injections, iron,
yes,
all the classic standard medical methods of ruling out those symptoms
yes.
actually fail,
yes,
and the person still feels unwell.
Yes.
So this is the kind of things that you notice in your practice.
Yes, and I think, you know, I like to get to the root of somebody's problem. So yes, you can temporarily make them feel better with a course of antibiotics or a course of steroids or anything, the HRT, the bioidentical hormones, but really you want to address the root of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it becomes, again, very expensive just going around in circles and not actually helping them to truly heal. And so I think coming back to the adrenal stress, you know, adrenals, if we can all manage adrenal stress, we could actually eat what we want and get by with so many insults. But when we turn 50, something has to change. We have to respect the body. So I often say to my patients, you know, who are postmenopausal, and they like their wine and they like their coffee and they like their hair dye and their socializing and et cetera, where it's excessive or mm-hmm. continuous. I just say to them, your eczema is because your body cannot handle at the age of 65 or 55 or 60, you know, a glass of wine every night and a cup of coffee twice a day and. You know,
how do your patients react to this?
They don't like what I have to say, but you know, I'm not here to just spoil people's lives. I'm here to help them truly to heal. You know, I've got patients who are happily taking inhalers for asthma and steroids for their eczema. You know, but actually we need to heal their leaky gut, get rid of the fungus, which means no alcohol, you know, no bread, no yeast, no wine, no caffeine. And yes, it feels like hell, but you know, once you've turned that corner, you actually think, wow, I've got energy, my skin's never looked so well, you're off the steroids, you're off the medication. So at the end of the day, people have choices.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's like, and that's what I felt. I felt I have a choice. I can just go gray and come to work healthy, mm-hmm. or I persist with this hair dye and just pick up the pieces as they happen. Mm-hmm. And because I have such a responsible job and running a clinic is a huge responsibility, I did not want to take the risk any longer.
So what are the heavy metals?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks. Dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You actually think, wow, I've got energy, my skin's never looked so well, you're off the steroids, you're off the medication. So at the end of the day, people have choices.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's like, and that's what I felt. I felt I have a choice. I can just go gray and come to work healthy, mm-hmm. or I persist with this hair dye and just pick up the pieces as they happen. Mm-hmm. And because I have such a responsible job and running a clinic is a huge responsibility, I did not want to take the risk any longer.
So what are the heavy metals, Shamin, that you think could possibly be as a result of using excessive hair dye or constantly being exposed to hair dyes? Lead? Will there be...
Well, if you go lighter, so if you do highlights, you know, lighter colours do not have that dark lead content. You know, the darker colors of hair dyes are the ones to be particularly aware of because they have the higher lead content. Mm-hmm. So if you highlight your hair or go blonde or go lighter, it's not an issue as far as toxic metals are concerned. Mm-hmm. So the main metal that shows from hair dye, especially dark hair dyes, it's lead. Mm-hmm. Mercury is coming more from eating, you know, tuna and swordfish and having amalgam fillings in your mouth. And then aluminium is a big one. You know, people still use aluminium foil, aluminium pans. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, there's a lot of aluminium in our environment, in the air we breathe, and in our surroundings. In the vaccines, when people have vaccines, when they travel abroad, there's aluminium in there. There used to be mercury as a preservative for the vaccines. So, you know, it's from all sources.
It's a combination.
And, you know, my goal, what I'm trying to say to patients and people generally is, you know, we're not striving for perfection. A lot of adrenal junkies are perfectionists.
Mm-hmm.
They want everything to be clean and 100%. Forget it. That's not your goal. It shouldn't be your goal, because you can drive yourself mad trying to achieve that perfection of the cleanest water, the cleanest this, the best of that, the most organic, whatever. It's like you're chasing the wrong detail.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to chase any detail, I would say, how's your kidney? How's your bladder? How's your liver functioning? How are your adrenals? How's your gut? You know, have you planned your food for tomorrow? Are you in charge of making your own food? Are you using good fats or bad fats?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you eating out a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Traveling, are you flying a lot? These are risk factors. Frequent flyers, long-haul flights, apart from the food you get, it's the impact on the lymphatic system, the radiation you're exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's putting in perspective. You know, people will fuss about a mammogram or a chest x-ray, and I'm thinking, wow, the reality is we're surrounded by so much radiation 24/7,
mm-hmm.
that please go and have a mammogram or a chest x-ray, because the information it will provide will be very helpful in our diagnosis or treatment plan. So I try and bring perspective back for my patients, because it's easy to lose perspective.
Yes, yeah. So, you know, coming back to instead of colouring your hair. Are you saying that it's okay if people bleach their hair?
Well, you know, it's okay in the sense that you're not being exposed to lead.
But does it still have health impacts?
I think it's got its chemicals, and, you know, sometimes people have skin reactions just from whatever they put to do that. So, you know, it's better than the lead dark hair dye. But if you want to just forget the whole hair thing and buy yourself different wigs to give different appearances. They're actually stunning. And and I really recommend you to take a trip, all your listeners take a trip to Harlesden, apart from anything, just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, plastic type hair wigs. Of course, they're not very nice to even handle. But then the real natural hair, they're lovely. I mean, such choice.
Yeah. And that's not detrimental to health?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you can wear this wig today and that wig tomorrow. And
I must share a story with you, Shamim. You know, I grew up in India, and of course, you know, I haven't seen a lot of the elderly mm-hmm. people.
Mm-hmm.
I was very young. And in fact, I was always asking my mom, why is that my grandmother and her sisters, they always collected hair,
mm-hmm.
and then they made it into a bun,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, you know, they gifted it to each other,
right?
And what they used to do is just to, you know, wear it as a hair piece.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that picture comes to my mind, right. In the sense, you know, they were not dyeing their hair,
no.
But they were just using natural hair,
mm-hmm.
mostly from themselves,
mm-hmm.
over a period of time,
right.
And they were using it as extensions,
right.
Hair extensions,
yes.
So
in effect, that's what this wig is. It's a hair extension, real live natural hair, you know. I don't know the process of how it's collected and done, but beautiful to handle and touch and feel.
What would be your advice to men? You know, obviously, you know, you are a GP,
mm-hmm.
not a fashion designer. Mm-hmm. So still, if I say, okay, particularly men, they find it very awkward,
mm-hmm.
to be wearing a wig.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your comment on that? I'm just curious, you know, would you tell your male patients as well?
Okay. Well, it seems like the men are not so fast. I see a lot of men who are happy to just go naturally gray or whatever to manage the hair color change, mm-hmm. in their stride.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, I think men do a better job of that than women. And of course, the men that are really fussed about their appearance that then end up dyeing their hair, and they too often have health issues, namely affecting the prostate. So, you know, I would say explore the wig scenario, even if it's just for fun. You know, people associate wigs with chemotherapy and cancer, and, you know, but honestly, when you go to Harleston and you just go with an attitude of play and fun, it is actually a fun place to hang out and go with your friends, just to sort of see what's available and what's potentially there, and how you look so amazingly different or stunning in different hairstyles. So embrace it with more fun rather than, oh, you got a wig on, you must have cancer. You know, that's unfortunately the connotation people associate with wigs.
Yeah.
Which fair enough, maybe it used to be, but that those times are different now. You know, I would say embrace the wigs as a kind of fun-like thing, because it's protecting you from all this unnecessary insult and toxicity.
Yeah, I think, you know.
And yet you can still look beautiful and stunning, because at the end of the day, that has to be important, because it's people's self-confidence, and that counts for a lot. Mm-hmm. So I get it. I get all of that. But, you know, a wig can make it so easy to give that goal that you want.
I think, you know, in some ways, it makes total sense. You know, in a culture where you know, cosmetic surgeries and implants and
you've gone crazy as a human species. You know, everything's plastic and artificial, and yet the real beauty of the person is not allowed to shine through.
Yeah,
you know,
honesty. You know, I think, you know, you almost, even nowadays, if you look at someone and they are really very attractive, the first thing that you ask yourself is, oh, have they had something done to them? So we have come to a time in our culture where actually we are losing our ability to display our beauty in a more honest way.
And I think people are so prepared to compromise their health for this superficial, artificial beauty. So what, you know, what made me make a easy, clear decision from one moment to another was waking up that morning with swollen eyes, and I thought, you know what, I've had it. My health is more important to me than all this stuff. So that was so easy for me to just say, it'll be what it'll be. And it helped me to manage the transition in my stride. But I think that's absolutely key, is how much do you value your health? And I see so many people, they'll have implants and this and that, but then they'll sit here and wonder why the treatment's not working.
Yes, yeah. So I think the key message is that we could explore all different pathways to health or understanding why we might be unwell.
Mm-hmm.
But if we ignore hair dye,
yes,
maybe we are making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do identify that actually hair dye may have a role in negatively impacting on my health, it is a good step to go and explore natural ways of, you know, looking beautiful, or go and buy a wig.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we live in a time when there's so much choice. There's so much availability. You know, maybe 30 years ago, these wigs didn't exist. I don't know, because I never went to look. But I would say to any 30-year-old now, think twice. Don't get into that, because you almost get caught into this addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start dyeing your hair, it becomes an addiction. Every slight grey, you have got to cover it up. So before you get into that addictive pattern, check out the wigs and just generally think twice about what you're doing to yourself. Because I think a lot of it is like there's this obsession, you know. I learned this from a good psychological teacher that I really admired and respected. And he basically said, you know, when your energy is out there into the world, you know, away from your body focused, then your focus is out there. You're happier. And at the end of the day, I think everyone's looking to find happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get obsessed about the body with every freckle and every wrinkle and every this and every gray hair, unfortunately, the energy is moving towards your body rather than away. And whenever you get obsessed towards the body, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it was easy. It's like, I've got patients to see, I've got clinic to run, my energy's out there. Whatever will be, will be. I'll manage the grey as it happens.
Yeah.
You know, and I think my message to all your listeners would be, just question what you're doing, why you're doing it, what's your motive, and put your energy out there to connect with people and trust that you are lovable and there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah. Well, this has been amazing, Shamim, because we started with something which is so medical or body-related, hair dye and its impact on hormones. And we are concluding our episode by actually focusing on what we could call the spiritual aspect of our being. Because as you say, the need to cover up every little imperfection has become such a normalized obsessive compulsive disorder in our society. But as you say, when you really focus on what's your purpose in life, you actually stop you know, being a victim of all these intrusions which do not necessarily belong to you.
Yes.
From an Ayurvedic perspective, that's what is called following your dharma or your purpose. So when we do not know our dharma, we then fall prey to someone else's agenda, which may not serve us.
Yes.
So this has been a fantastic conversation. I will be talking to Dr. Shamim Daya on other topics. And Shamim, if my listeners like to know more about you, where can they go and find about your work? Or is there a website that you can give my listeners?
Yes. My website is holisticmedical.co.uk, and it's holistic spelt with a W-H. So it's W-H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C medical.co.uk. So yes, explore my website and yes, just be more aware and I hope this has been helpful.
So do stay tuned to Are You Well? And I'll be looking forward to talking to you again next week on UK Health Radio. Thank you. Sarve bhavantu sukhinah.